Tonight, I got something I want to just let rip with you tonight, okay? So get your Bibles out and go to the book of 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Did y'all enjoy Sister Annie? I got pretty good friends in life, don't I? She's kept me straight for a long time. Yeah. Hold on a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Have you ever been into a store where the clerk seemed that you had inconvenienced them to purchase something there? Have y'all ever had that experience? Huh? Where you've really troubled them for that they have to get off the phone or you know, quit talking to the other employee or whatever's going on to do something so silly as to take your money for what you wanted to purchase in the store. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or have you ever been in the store where you went in there and then you couldn't find the clerk? I mean, there's not anybody there. That's a weird experience. You just walk in there and you're looking around and you're thinking, well, good gosh, you just run out the store or something, you know? Y'all with me? Or have you ever been in the store before that the clerk is like doing six or eight things at the same time? You know, like he's got the cell phone on his ear like this and he's trying to check you out while he's telling the other guy to go over there and help somebody while he's telling the guy over, you know, to gas at pump five, he's got his credit card. Y'all have tried that one? I seem to experience all kinds of things and always just take note, always laugh at it because, you know, the bottom line is the customer is the person that should be pleased. And when you walk into a business, you want to feel like you were there and that they, you know, they greeted you. And, you know, I had an experience today where, you know, you got three cash registers and four people standing behind there and they're only running one while there's eight people backed up in a line. And I'm thinking, I mean, you know, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, what is this not right? You know, even God bless them, the large chain store that a lot of us shop at, you know, I mean, they have numbers from like 1 to 64, but there's only 4 open, you know. I never have quite figured that out. But anyway, how do they know when there's going to be people that are going to need to add them to? Is what I always wondered. You got 64, and I've never been in where they're all open. I'd go out on the street and hire somebody. But anyway, that's another story. So, the point I'm trying to say here is that it says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. The word he's talking about is a steward in there. Is not necessarily merely a servant, a airline hostess, a waiter at your table. The word steward there means, if you go look it up in the Greek, it means actually a person who is like in charge over something, like the business of a house. Like he's in charge of, you know, a certain section. He's not in charge of everything. He's just in charge of stewarding whatever's been placed over him, that's what he's charged to steward, okay? And it's not just to take the person's money, it's the responsibility for everything going on around there to see that it's, you know, everything, every aspect of that certain job is taken care of, right? It's more in depth than just going up and saying, yeah, well, what do you want to eat? Well, that was my table, I took care of it. It's bigger than that. It's broader than that, I guess you'd say. But it says, moreover, it's required of stewards that a steward has to be found faithful. In other words, God is looking at us, each and every one of us, to look at what you are a steward of. Huh. You can't be a steward of my barn. You're going to only be a steward of your barn. You can't be a steward of my house. You're just a steward of your house and what goes on to it. And you want to know, well, what has God given me to, you know, if you pray, oh, God, what am I supposed to do? Well, number one is you got to be a steward of whatever he's given you. So whatever's in your midst is what you have to be a steward of. You see what I'm saying? You don't say, oh, God, are you going to give me something else? No, but your first responsibility is to be faithful with what you have. Okay, so that means, you know, your household, your children, your property, your finances, your well-being, your whatever it is, whatever is put there in your hands. Now, you may have dreams of other things, and that's okay. But the thing that you have to be found faithful with is immediately what is in your midst to steward that. Your relationships, your conduct, your everything. Are y'all with me? Right? He says, that's the first. Moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. But I'm going to talk to you about one specific point tonight, okay, about something to steward. Now, I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11. You know, I got these glasses and crazy things. They don't work unless I have them on. Hadn't figured that out yet. But put them on, I can see a lot better. Just keep them in my pocket. That ought to work. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it'll prosper in the thing in which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. How many of y'all want to go out with joy and be led with peace? I mean, peace and joy, what else does a person need in life, right? Peace and joy. There's not much. You got peace and joy, you can go through anything in life. You got peace and joy, right? We go out with joy. Everybody say go out with joy. Man, if anybody was married to joy, you could say, man, I went out with joy all the time. I tried to go out with joy, but her father, who was peace, you know, let me out, right? All right, forget this. Y'all getting me messed up here tonight. It's hot today. The sun's been breaking my brain. We shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hill shall break forth in singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hand. Instead of thorns there shall come up a cypress tree, instead of briars shall come up a myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, let me ask you something. That sounds good, doesn't it? Right? I mean, that is good stuff. Joy, peace, prosperity, you know, all going before you, right? And if you notice it at the end of it, he says, and it shall be for the Lord for a name and an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off, okay? He said, my word's going to go forth and it's going to go out and it's going to accomplish everything that I sent it out to do. What I want to talk to you tonight about being stewards of the Word of God over your life. Now listen to me. If a man is supposed to steward the things God has given to him, one of the things God has given to you is the dominion to advance the kingdom of God over your life. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, in the very beginning, God says, I give you dominion to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I give you dominion to go out and to walk as sons of God on the face of this earth. So then if he's given you something upon this earth that you're supposed to steward, the way you're going to steward it is with the Word of God. According to the Word of God and with the Word of God. Right? I've got some friends that are lawyers, and they got this whole rack of books in there. And you're supposed to be able to walk into those law books, and those law books will tell you any of the law that's supposed to be in the state of Texas. You know, just bunches of rows and rows and rows of these books. And you're supposed to, whatever situation you're in, you're supposed to be able to pull a book, reach it out, and it's going to tell you what the law says about that situation, right? Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. When you're trying to steward whatever's going on in your life, whatever happens, there's something, you know, kind of shaking and rattling over here. You got a squeak over here. This is just going just right, whatever. You're supposed to be able to take the Word of God, go into the Word of God, find in the Word of God what His Word says about that situation and that issue, and then it's your responsibility as a steward of it to loose that over that situation. You can say, oh, God, help me in this, but he wants you to loose that word over his situation because his word will not return back void. Whatever it's sent out to do, it's going to prosper in doing that. Y'all see? Y'all with me here? But it's got to be spoken. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. The word's got to go. The word can't stay in your head. It's got to be engrafted into your heart, but it has to come out of your mouth in order for you to be able to truly steward what's going on. Can you imagine a person who is called a steward of business, but he never says anything out of his mouth? Never tells anybody to go do anything? Never gets on the phone and calls for the things he needed? If he was in charge of the paper towels and they ran out and he didn't say anything to anybody and they ran out of paper towels, it'd be his fault. He said, well, you know, they didn't bring them. Well, did you call? Well, no. But they should have known that I need to order paper towels every Tuesday. There's people in the world that are like that, you know. They expect it just to happen, but it can't just happen. Something has to take place. Something has to go forward. One of the things that really frustrates me in life is if you're trying to send an email, you know, and to send it out, and it keeps coming back. Right? Y'all ever had those? And it comes back, and it looks like it's got a little thing on there. It says, looks like, the first time I saw it, I thought it said mail demon. Have y'all noticed that? I'm glad I'm not the only person who ever thought that. And I was like, why do I have a mail demon on here? I don't want a mail demon. Anyway. But, you know, sometimes it's just one letter that's wrong. One little something. One little minor. A space where there shouldn't be a space. A capital that should have been a capital or not a capital. Or, you know what I mean? It just, you know, you didn't have your glasses on and you put a 1 in instead of an L. Right? Or the dot. Who can see the dot? I mean, that's just terrible. When somebody has their name like Tom, dot, whatever, and you're like, yeah, I didn't see a dot. I've done that so many times. Send it. It goes down, and I didn't put the dot. I didn't see the dot. Didn't know there was a dot. Got my glasses, put them on, says, man, there's a dot there. I'll be darned. Anyway, goes out, but it's my fault. I accused the internet. I accused the computer. You know, the provider, whatever. It's everybody else's fault but mine, but it's really my fault I didn't get the dot in there. Right? We always look to everybody else as what the problem was when it was really our fault that we didn't put the dot in. I believe God's taking us through a time right now where he's wanting to say, hey, have you checked to see if you did it right? I mean, if you listen to society today, if you're a Democrat, it's a Republican's fault. If you're a Republican, it's a Democrat's fault. If you're a conservative, it's a liberal's fault. Liberal is conservative's fault. If you live up north, it's the Yankees. I mean, it's the Southern guy's fault. It's the Yankees' fault. It's whoever's fault. It's everybody else's fault. But nobody wants to take responsibility for their own life and what's going on around them. Hello? But God's not going to let you get away with that. Because if you go back and read 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says that not only are you required to be stewards, but you're going to give an account of God. Right? And the one that's going to require you to give an account of you is going to be him. So he's looking at your stewardship. We're not stewarding it for us, we're stewarding it for him. He wants us to steward his word over our life so he can bring his kingdom into our lives and accomplish what he wants to accomplish in our lives. But we have to be the stewards of the word. We have to be speaking the word. I read sometime that, and don't get mad at me, and my figures may be wrong here, but it's close. It was something like a man speaks 250,000 words in a day and a woman speaks 500,000. Isn't that funny? All the men are saying, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. All the women are saying, no, you're not even close. (Clears throat)
I'm looking for some confirmation out here. Now you chicken bunch of guys are just sitting there saying, 25,000 men speak 10. Whatever it is, women speak more words than men. I was thinking it's 500,000, but maybe it was just 50,000. Okay, whatever. The statistics are that men speak half the amount of words as women speak. Okay, so I'll give you that one. How many did you say, 25,000 you think it is? Okay, well, let's just go with my wife. We won't want to argue with her. 25,000 words. Can you imagine it? What did those 25,000 words do? No, I'm serious. Come on, think about this for a minute. In your 25,000 words that you spoke, let's just give everybody 25,000 words, okay? So we have no more disagreement about who speaks more, even though we know what the women do. If you loosed 25,000 words out of your mouth in a day, okay, what did those words do? In other words, how many of them were compliments? How many of them started a fight? How many of them was griping and complaining? How many of them was just joy or praising? How much of it was prayer? How much of it was speaking God's words over your situation through prayer? You see what I'm saying? Taking your words, putting them all in a pool and starting to slice them up. How many of them is just general conversation? How many of them was business? You see what I mean? And just think about this. I want you to think about this, because if we're called to be stewards of God's word, then if you're speaking, and if we're going to speak 20,000 words in a day, how many of those words were actually God's word going forth to accomplish what it was sent out to do over your life? And my question to us tonight is, we have to become aware, and are we aware of what I'm talking about, so that you kind of have to start watching your tongue and watch what's going on, and then stop and observe what's going on in your life. And if there's chaos in your life, then possibly it may be coming out of your mouth. Look at the person beside you and say, I think I like Sister Annie better. Let me show you another scripture here. Go to Isaiah 43:11. Isaiah 43:11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there is no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? When God's doing a work, it can't be reversed. When God proclaims it, and God says it, and God does a work in your life, it cannot be reversed. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Look at verse. This is where he's talking about the sheep and all, and just go down to 26. Isaiah 10:26. What did I say? John. We want John. Señor 1. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 26.
But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Listen, when God puts it in his hand and God says it's going to be done and God gets you to speaking it out of your mouth, then ain't nothing going to snatch it out of there. The only thing that can happen is if you stop speaking God's word out of your mouth and declaring it out of your mouth and you give up and you quit, then the seed that's been planted within your heart and the seed that's going to come to pass and the seed that's going to bring about whatever it's going to produce, then it begins to wither. It never goes away. The seed of the Word of God is always there and it'll always produce. It's an unusual thing. God's Word's an unusual thing. If you take a tomato tree. What am I talking about? Have y'all seen tomato trees? You take a tomato bush and it grows up and it can produce tomatoes, right? And if the season is right and you just quit watering it, it can't produce, right? It has to have water to sustain it. So then, in other words, you're controlling the growth of your tomato. I mean, let's take the worms out, anything else out, bugs out and all that. You're controlling the growth of your tomato by the amount of water you put on it. True? You don't water your garden, it's going to die. You got to water it. You have to walk out there. You have to take effort. You have to get the hose or the sprinkler or whatever you're doing. You have to do it, right? You don't do it, it dies. It is not the garden's fault. Same with the seed of God's word. It's not God's word. It's not God's fault that it didn't happen. Because if the seed was planted in your heart, it's supposed to grow and you're supposed to speak it out of your mouth. But you give up and you don't water it and you don't do anything with it and you don't cultivate it and you don't bring it to pass. And it's not producing. It's not God's fault it's not producing, because his word will produce. His word can't be snatched. His word can't be reversed. It's always going to accomplish what it was sent out to do. It's only our stewardship of it. Hello? It's only our stewardship that's going to make the difference. So, when you wake up in the morning, like this morning, when I woke up, I felt like somewhere, I don't know if it was the heat yesterday and I lost whatever and I didn't get my body replenished enough, I felt like somewhere in the middle of the night I died. And that rigor mortis set into my body. And then about 5:30, the Lord, when the alarm clock went off, he breathed life into me and I came back to bed. I felt like I could not move. I felt like every ligament had seized, every joint was, I felt like I was like Frankenstein. I couldn't even walk. I was just like, oh God, what's the matter? So I was trying to get in there. It took me forever. You know, 16 cups of coffee later and I finally got going. No, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty bad. But when I got going, I got my eyes open. I got my first cup of coffee down me. Words started coming out of my mouth. As I was trying to stretch my leg out, I said, God, what have I done? Had the chair up there, a cup of coffee, my Bible, and my leg stretched. I said, Lord, what has happened? Words coming out of my mouth. I'm saying, Lord, I'm telling you, man, I just thank you for your word. I think it's going to go forth. It's going out of my mouth today. I declare joy is mine today. I declare, Lord God, that, you know, I started setting the precedent of my day based upon what God's word said. I see it like I'm just like pulling arrows out of the quiver. You know? I get to town, I get my son, get in the car. Now I got some agreement. The Bible says two of us agree to touch anything, it's going to be done. Now we're praying going down the road. Pray all the way to Sabbath out, speaking the word out, declaring the word. This is going to happen. I think that's going to happen. We're praying this over this, this over this, and now we're both out there just shooting. Just launching arrows. And then as the day goes along, something goes wrong, something's not happening, something of this or that or the other, whatever's going on. Boom, man, lose some word, speak some word. You see, because it's the only thing that won't fail. Now, did the day of my 10,000 words I spoke, you know,
You know, I can't say. Some of them were probably, you know, what are you doing, you yahoo? Get over on your side of the road. You know, there was probably some of those that went out. Hey, does anybody want my money? You know, some of that might have come out of my mouth. Are y'all with me here? I'm not saying it was total 100% word. I still had to do business. I had to call people on the phone, still talk to people, still did business and this and that. And yeah, there were still just other conversations that went on in there, you know, word, you know, things that happened like that, whatever, you know. But what's funny about it in life is that's the only way I know how to live. I know no other. It's the only thing I can really teach you in life that I know will be successful. Because if you do it, you're going to have success in that area, because I know God's word isn't going to fail you. Jesus says not even going to ever be a person that believes in him that'll ever be ashamed. But I do know that however much water you put on the tomato is going to directly affect how much you get produced or how much you reap. Right? Now, you can't overwater. You know that? There's a time when God says, okay, I got it. I'm in charge of it. I'm taking care of it. Just have some faith and start just thanking me that it's done. You with me? That means we have to listen. We have to listen. So I encourage you to tomorrow, when you get out in the world, start listening to how many words you're speaking. What are you saying? What's coming out of your mouth? You know, I would think that you have to have it balanced. If you launch off into a griping spell, you better get some word going. You know, with me? And realize that we're stewards of the Word of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.